appreciate very much that you picked this song that goes along with my message. I invite you to take your Bibles this evening. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 12. And as we go through the message this evening, I think you will understand why I appreciate the song and pit. How fitting it is with that which I want to share with you tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, just the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we could get into a good discussion tonight as to who wrote the book of Hebrews. You theologians out there, you can discuss that. I personally think Paul wrote it, but I've been wrong a lot of times. But whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, was he an athlete? Did he compete in the Olympic Games of his day? Or did he simply enjoy going and watching the athletic events? Or maybe simply just had some knowledge about the Olympics. When I was in the service, found out I was going to go to Germany, and that year was the year that the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, was held in Rome. And my buddy and I, as soon as we got there, well, I say as soon, I think it was about the second day we were there, we went in and wanted to get a leave the week of the Olympics so we could go down and watch the Olympics. Needless to say, guys that had already been there for a while already took up all that time. So we were not able to get there for that. But we did get that down to Rome about 2 weeks after the Olympics, and we did go into the stadium where the Olympics were held that year, and they had statues of all the different athletic events, different sports and so forth, and we looked for the one for America, and the one for America was baseball. And they had a statue of a catcher with his mask on, his chest protection, and a pair of shorts. But anyway, did the writer of the book of Hebrews, was he interested in the Olympic Games? He does use a number of illustrations. He refers to the Christian life as a race. And as you go on down through the chapter, you'd notice that there are several times that he makes reference to it. Now, I personally enjoy watching the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics. Now, the Olympic Games today are vastly different than they were in the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews. Today, almost anything is included in the Olympics. In fact, they now have competition in badminton, ping pong, or table tennis, whatever you want to call it. And in the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews, it was basically games, the races, and so forth, such as that. But as we look at these two verses, we find here the writer of the book of Hebrews gives us a number of challenges as participants in the spiritual race of life. And I'd like to look at those challenges this evening. Before we do, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, that which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I pray, dear Father, tonight as we look at these two verses and the challenge that is left to us by the writer of the book of Hebrews, that, Lord, we would consider them. Lord, we would apply them. Lord, I trust that it would be an encouragement and yet a challenge each and every one of us. Pray, God, you protect my lips that I not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The first challenge that we find in these verses is to run unhindered. To run unhindered. Paul, the writer here says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. What are the weights that the writer is referring to in these verses? I had the opportunity when I was in high school to compete in track and field. I ran the sprints, the 100, the 220. I ran the low hurdles, and I ran in a relay team as well. And when we were warming up, when we were practicing, we would wear warm-up suits. We would wear sweats. We would usually have shoes on, tennis shoes or something like that. But when it came to the time of the race, we got rid of the warm-ups. And we got rid of those tennis shoes and we put on these little track shoes, very light. We laid aside the weight that so easily hindered us. Now, were those sweats wrong? Were they that which we should not have had? No, they were profitable. They were good in their place. But the weights that Paul refers to can be almost anything, even that which is in themselves good and profitable. In our first church that we pastored in Marquezan, Wisconsin, on a Sunday evening, we had a music team from Maranatha come to minister in our church that night. And I don't remember if it was the entire team or just part of them stayed with us. But one of the young men that stayed with us that night, the next morning, Monday morning, he got up and he was going to go out and run. He was on the soccer team at Maranatha. And before he went out running that morning, he had these weights that he strapped on his ankles. I don't know how heavy they were, but he had these weights that he strapped on his ankles. Now, those weights were profitable. Those weights in themselves were good. They helped to strengthen the muscles in his legs. They helped him to get a greater endurance as he ran and so forth. But I never had the opportunity, or I never took the opportunity, to go down to Maranatha to watch him compete in a soccer meet. But I highly doubt that when he entered into the soccer meet that he had those weights on his ankle. He laid aside those weights that would hinder him. As the writer says here, to lay aside the every weight. Let us run. Lay aside every weight which thus will easily beset us. Now, those weights that this young man put on his ankles when he was going out jogging that morning or out running that morning, were they bad? No. They were good. They were profitable. They were good and profitable in their proper time and in their proper place. And so, you know, when we lay aside weights, there are some times that we need to lay aside those things that might be profitable, those things that are good, in their own means and in their own place and at their right time. But they can become a hindrance. They can keep us from being able to do our very best in the game of life, in the race, the Christian race. And I wonder, are there times that I allow those things which in and of themselves are good to prevent me from being able to do my best? Times when I need to lay aside certain things in my life. Maybe it's a hobby that I have. Hobbies are good. I trust most of you have a hobby. Maybe it was a recreation. Music. I'm going to get myself in trouble. A boyfriend or a girlfriend. Good. Proper. In their proper place. In their proper time. But the writer says, lay aside those things that can hinder us, those weights. Lay aside every weight. But then he goes on and he says, and the sin. So he makes a distinction between the two of them. The first one, he says, lay aside every weight. And then he goes on and says, and the sin. And so as I look at that, I see that the writer of the book of Hebrews is making a distinction. He's talking about weights. Hindrances that in and of themselves can be good, but they can be a hindrance in the wrong place and at the wrong time. But then he says, lay aside every sin. He doesn't mention a specific sin here. It could be a specific sin that he is thinking about. The hindrance to our lives. And if there is that sin that is hindering us, and all sin does hinder us, we, like David, like Peter, we confess that sin, asking the Lord to give us a victory over that sin, realizing it does hinder, even ruin our testimony. Very possibly, the sin that the writer of the book of Hebrews is referring to could be the sin of unbelief. As you look at the context of the previous chapter and so forth, you and I are saved by faith. We walk, we serve by faith. There are those who will spend eternity in hell simply because of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. In chapter 11, we find over and over again the little phrase, by faith or through faith. Genuine faith enables us to serve the Lord. Genuine faith enables us to live for the Lord. Unbelief is a sin that will hinder us in running the race. Unbelief was that which kept Israel out of the promised land, out of the land of Canaan for a period of 40 years. It was unbelief by those in Christ's day, in Christ's homeland, that hindered them from He being able to minister to them as He desired. In Matthew, in chapter 15, in verse number 38, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief, the sin that can hinder us greatly. Paul challenges us, or the writer of Hebrews, challenges us, first of all, to run unhindered. Lay aside those weights that do so easily beset us. Lay aside that sin that so easily besets us. Secondly, His challenge to you and I is to run steadfastly. He says in this first verse, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run the race, and let us run with patience the race. Let us run with patience. There are some believers who can give a testimony of their salvation. They know exactly when it was. They know the circumstances that surrounded their salvation. And praise God for that. I'm thankful for every individual who can give a genuine testimony of their salvation. But sadly, they don't have a testimony beyond that. They have not gone on for the Lord. They have not grown in the Lord. They have not followed the Lord in believers' baptism. They have not joined a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. They're content to sit in the bleachers and let others run the race. And here he challenges us to run steadfastly. I mentioned that I had the opportunity to run track in high school, run the sprints, run the low hurdles, so forth. Others ran the longer races. You know, my race lasted about 11, 12 seconds. It was done. But there were those who ran the mile, the 2 mile, longer races. I have found out that we have some runners here in the church that run, even have run a marathon. Take some time. Take some steadfastness. Take some patience. And I believe it is that race, those races, those long distance races that better describe the Christian life. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a lifetime. And he encourages us to run with patience, run with endurance, run with a determination to finish our course in spite of the obstacles, pressures along the path. Again, as I mentioned, I enjoy watching the Olympics. I enjoy listening to interviews, sometimes before the races, sometimes after the races, of those who compete. And almost always in those interviews, you find that they will say it takes some hard work. It takes some determination. It takes some real effort. They have steadfastly prepared and now are competing with patience as well. One never wins a race by quitting. We had a half-miler, Errol Peterson. And we were at a dual meet. And the other school did not have a half-miler. And so the coach said, Rod, would you run the half-mile with Errol just to give him some competition? And I said, sure. And I tell you, Daryl and I got on the starting block. I took off. The end of the first quarter mile, I was far ahead of him. I didn't finish the race. I was shocked. I was used to running 100, about a half a mile. Daryl ran the race because he ran with patience. He ran with endurance. He ran steadfastly. He did not quit. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Run steadfastly. The third challenge that the writer of Hebrews gives us, run legally or run the proper course. Again in the first verse, run. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, there is a sense in which there is a general path, a general course for every Christian, every believer. And yet at the same time, there is also a specific course that the Lord has for each believer. Course for us to run. It's important that we strive to know the Lord's will for our life and then to stay on that course. And we were starting the church in West Salem. They were not able to support us financially because it was just a small group that was there and so forth. And so Doris worked as a nurse, and she was basically the main income for our family at that particular time. But I supplemented our income by driving the school bus. They gave me a key to the school bus garage, and all the other drivers had my number, and so they could call me at any time, and especially this time of the year, the winter time. We had about three, maybe four drivers that were farmers, and they had cows. And we'd get up on these cold mornings, and pipeline was froze, or they were having problems, and they'd call me up at the last minute and say, "Will you run my route for me?" So I'd go over to the garage, and they had a bus there that he always made sure was ready in case I had to go out on it, and I'd go out and run the route. But most of my driving was driving sports teams. And one of the teams that I enjoyed driving for was a cross-country team. And the cross-country coach always liked to get to where we were having that particular meet quite a ways ahead of the time that meet was supposed to start. He did it because he wanted each one of his runners to know exactly what the course was. Every school that we went to had a different course laid out for that particular school. In West Salem, where we were at, they went to the Veterans Park. It was just a park at the edge of the town. And there they had a path throughout the park, and then they went out into a wooded area across the creek and so forth. But that was a specific route, and they had judges that would stand along the route at different places to make sure that no runner left that course. They had to stay on that. If they cut across, if they tried to take a shortcut across a corner or something, they were automatically disqualified. And the writer of the book of Hebrews challenges us to stay on our course, that we would not be disqualified. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he run or strive lawfully." Am I? Are you following the course that the Lord has laid out for you in your life? Following the general rule laid out for us in God's Word? But am I seeking? Are you seeking to follow God's specific course of our lives? And so the writer of the book of Hebrews challenges us to run unhindered. He challenges us to run steadfastly, run with patience. And he challenges us to run legally or the proper course. And then, fourthly, lastly, he challenges us to run with encouragement. Pastors referred often to the fact that we are a family, we are in this together, and we need to encourage one another. But the beginning of the first verse, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Several years ago, when I was in the early part of my ministry in Fort Atkinson, there was a gentleman who was going through open heart surgery, and I was at the hospital with the family, spent all day there. But during the course of that day, one of the sons came to me in private, and he asked me, he said, "Pastor, can those who have gone on before us, those who have gone to heaven, can they see what we are doing here on earth?" And I said, "No, that isn't what the writer of Hebrews is speaking about." But at the beginning of that verse, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that "wherefore" refers back to chapter 11. We are surrounded by those who by faith and through faith did certain things. They served the Lord in different ways and they accomplished many things in their life. You observe chapter 11. You find that there is a great encouragement for us. As you observe what they were able to accomplish by faith and through faith, as they served the Lord in the path that they were laid out for them. These are the ones who have run the race before us. They have run unhindered. Oh, they were not perfect. They were just like you and I. They had their difficulties. They were those who ran steadfastly. They were those who ran the proper course. And you and I, by reading what we read here in Hebrews chapter 11, can be encouraged knowing that what individuals, just like you and I, are able to accomplish for the Lord. Courage. We see how they ran. These who have received a good report through faith. You look at verse 39 of chapter 11. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received a good report by serving the Lord through faith. But I believe there's even a greater encouragement for you and I. Look at the first part of verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an encouragement. As you stop and consider what the Lord endured on the path that his Father laid out for him. He kept his eyes upon the cross. He kept his eyes upon that which the Lord had, which God had set out for him. Again, I refer to my opportunity of competing, running the sprints. One thing that I learned in running the sprints is when you get down in those starting blocks, you look down the course before you. You have just a little narrow path, you want to call it that. And I would get my eyes fastened on something. I'd look for something at the end of the race. And I would put my eyes on there and I would not take my eyes off of that object. That was my goal. That was what I was striving for. I did not care about the other runners. If I started looking around, I would probably stumble or I would step on the line. I'd be disqualified. And sometimes, as a Christian, we simply need to get our eyes upon the goal. Get our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our eyes upon him and not worry about the others, the things around us. But looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is a model for us. It says he ran the race with joy. Joy in knowing his Father's will for his life and doing it. Joy in finishing his race. In John chapter 4, in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He ran the race with joy. Joy in knowing he would one day be able to present believers such as you and I to the Father in glory. in Jude 24. And unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In the sprints, very, very important to start well. Get out of those blocks. You know, you almost guess when the judge is going to fire that gun to get you started. And you almost want to be leaning forward and start well. You know, it's also important to finish well. To complete the race. To press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To finish well. As we think about and we consider all that Christ endured for us, it ought to be a challenge to run the race that is set before us. To run that race unhindered. To run that race with steadfast endurance. To run that race with our eyes upon Jesus, the goal, the author and finisher of our faith. The perfecter of our faith. How am I running the race? Am I running the race unhindered? Am I laying aside those weights that so easily beset me? Oh, they might be good in themselves. They might be profitable. But they can be a hindrance. Laying aside the sin. That besetting sin that so easily hinders me. Am I running with endurance, with steadfastness, staying in the race, not quitting, running with my eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith? Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the challenge that the author of the book of Hebrews has laid before us. Seeing we are compassed about with some great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Lord, thank you so much for individuals who are here even tonight, who are a real blessing, real encouragement. We observe their lives and knowing them just a short time, and yet seeing their steadfastness, seeing their patience, seeing their laying aside those things that can hinder them, they're pressing toward the mark. Pray, God, tonight that you would help me to be the same. Pray, dear Father, for that one who maybe tonight needs to lay aside the hindrance. That's not a sin. But it's just something that is hindering me. Pray for that one who maybe needs to lay aside a sin. Run with patience. Grace and safety. What's in Christ's name we pray.